It's interesting to think that equality of genders, equality of everybody is the ultimate goal, because I would more so think being able to celebrate everything that makes different genders and different races and different types of people different and good would be the ultimate goal.
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. And today you are listening to our Lead the Conversation episode, which is in follow-up to our Freedom podcast with guest Gloria Purvis. Our listeners joining us in the discussion today are Elizabeth Schreiber and Samantha Povlock. Ladies, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. And I'm going to give you each a little chance to tell us a little bit about who you are. So Elizabeth, would you like to start?
Sure. I'm Elizabeth Schreiber. The name is not a mistake. I am Megan Schreiber's daughter, which is weird to say because she's my mom, but I'm very happy to be joining today. I am a sophomore at the University of Notre Dame. I'm a rower and I am a science business major. So it's kind of like a hybrid pre-med major with business. Don't know what I want to do yet, but figuring it all out. And yeah, I love just being around my family, making people laugh, and talking about faith too is really cool. Growing up, definitely like faith has always been important and around. It's always been something that's been a part of my life, but I also have definitely done a lot of learning and discovering things on my own. I definitely did a lot of figuring things out and deciding to go to youth group on my own terms and deciding to, you know, come to a Catholic school and be involved in things. So that's always been a part of that too. So
that's awesome. I love that. Having to make your faith your own. We all have to do it at some point.
A lot of siblings. So you you're learning independence at an early age. So it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Samantha, would you share a little bit with our listeners?
Sure. So my name is Samantha Povlock and I am a 25-year-old living in Chicago. I am married and have one little boy, Liam, who is almost 6 months. I work in finance consulting downtown, but I have a huge heart for feminism and Catholicism. In school, I was a theology and business major. And I've pretty much always been a feminist, but as I grew up and in college especially, I learned more about what the church actually says about women, and that just sort of fueled my passion for the topic. And now I run a blog called femcatholic.com where we talk about stuff like this.
Well, Samantha, while we have you going, can you tell us a little bit about your response, reaction to the episode on freedom?
I guess I thought there were a lot of really, really good points brought up that Gloria made. The one that really stuck out to me was when Gloria was talking about the fact that being a woman is not a costume, because I feel like that has just become such a misunderstanding in our world right now, and at least in Chicago too. There are a lot of people who just think that gender is fluid and there's all these different kinds of gender. There's like, I think, over 50 different gender identities you can choose on Facebook now when you sign up or something like that. But as a woman, I just feel like the whole discussion around gender neutrality that people are going for, it really...
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of the discussions around those topics end up really eliminating what it actually means to be a woman, and they are very masculinized. Our idea of the human person,
right,
is very masculinized, and I think we still don't know what it means to be a woman. But it made me think of, so there's a great book called Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. Yeah, he has this quote. He says, "We have this great thirst for freedom because our most fundamental aspiration is for happiness, and we sense that there is no happiness without love, and no love without freedom." So I thought that it made me think of that because feminists have been chanting, you know, freedom, freedom, freedom from the get-go. And there is something true about that. We have this thirst for freedom, but towards what, or, you know, free from what? And I think in modern times, a lot of the modern feminist narrative around freedom is freedom from our physical bodies as a woman.
We talk about the freedom aspect, not necessarily being freedom from something, but freedom for something. And just changing the semantics of from and for begins to flip the perspective of what freedom means. And it goes back also to what Gloria was saying about those ideas of freedom that seem to be liberation are ultimately become oppression for us, right? And we can talk about it in the gender piece. It's like, if I'm actually surprised that the overall feminist movement isn't more taken back and more offended by the fact that women are now being defined as put on lipstick and high heels, and heck, anybody can be a woman. I find that offensive. So for the male who wants to do that, that's not empowering me as a woman. It's hurting the woman's movement even more.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting too that something that came up during the election a little bit was the fact that feminism has not actually benefited mothers a lot of times. So especially now as a working mom in Chicago, my whole view on feminism has sort of erupted even more, because it's not just a matter of promoting women in the world and society and in the workplace. We really have to accommodate mothers. And that goes back to, how is the female body different than the male body? Is that we are the ones in humanity who carry and bear children and pregnancy and breastfeeding. And it's one thing to promote this kind of gender neutral picture of woman in the workplace and say, oh, you know, the humans who wear dresses and skirts and high heels to work, we're going to promote them too. That's, you know, we've made some progress on that front. But in a lot of places today, we're still trying to make progress for mothers. And I think that becomes, you know, complicated. And there is something limiting about being a mother and being pregnant. You can't do things that, you know, you can't run around the block the way you maybe could when you weren't pregnant. And I think sometimes that's what feminists are getting at when they say, you know, we're not free as women because of our bodies. And I would agree. I would say, yeah, there is a certain kind of freedom you don't have, but it kind of circles back to what you brought up about freedom from versus freedom for. And what is that freedom for?
Yeah, I was very struck by what Gloria said regarding masculinity being the goal. I never saw that before. It's like we keep comparing our standards to what men are doing, but it's just different. It's like comparing apples and oranges. And I thought, well, that's not free, because I'll never be a man. I'll never be able to to become what society is asking me to be. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. That's who I am. I will never be a man. It doesn't matter what I do, I will never be a man.
And isn't that a good thing? Like being a daughter, being a wife, being a mother is a good thing. Why is there this constant pressure to be more like men and constantly say, well, men, you know, men are able to do this, men are able to do that. In my mind, a truly, you know, a really radical version of feminism would be the men crying about the fact that they can't have kids.
I think kind of everything that all of you have been talking about kind of stems from the fact that I think the people today really think like the ultimate goal, like the highest thing to achieve, is equality, which to me is interesting because I feel like that's kind of retrograding, like everything that we've come so far in like our country and our world about like celebrating the differences among people. And like kind of like, it's interesting to think that like equality of genders, equality of everybody is like the ultimate goal, because I would more so think that like being able to celebrate everything that makes different genders and different races and different types of people different and still the same good would be the ultimate goal, that we can all kind of sit back and say like, women aren't men and they're not going to be the exact same. And in equality, it just, I feel like almost like, I just feel like that it pushes us back in a way. And then we can't be able to like fully be, people can't fully be who they are in a sense.
I think that's a great point. For how much our culture champions everybody to be equivalent and exactly the same, which again goes back to the fact that that thing that they want everyone to be is a male version of humanity. And I think there's really a hunger in the world and in the church still for a deeper theology of woman and in the culture of just what does it mean to be a woman? And for such a long time, it meant you had the babies and stayed home. And so I think feminists said, well, that doesn't work for all women, or that's not the fullness of what it means to be a woman.
Right.
And they revolted against that and wanted to be, you know, free of that.
Right. And at the same time, like putting a group of people based on, you know, their gender, their like their country of origin or something, like putting them in a box and saying like, this is what you do because this is, you know, quote, who you are based on the type of person you are perceived as. That's also not like, yeah, I think that was the intention was like, okay, we don't want to be put in a box because yeah, women are awesome and we can do a lot of things. But now it's like turning into something completely different, I feel like, in the mainstream sense of the word.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting too, how Gloria brought up how it's highly sexualized a lot of times. I just thought that was really interesting. Yeah. Like, why is the only thing that we have been able to identify is about women is that we're sexual. Like, is that the best we can do?
Right.
Like, yeah, we're continuing to be objectified. And isn't that what they were fighting against in the beginning? That I'm just what you're the object of bearing your children so that you can, you know, send forth your legacy and your family name. I mean, that's what we were, I would assume the original feminists were like, okay, wait, I'm more than just that. So what I'm hearing when I listen to you two girls talk and the equality, what I'm hearing is more of a cry for equal dignity. We're all wanting human dignity.
I think so. Sometimes too in our world, like we are part of a, people want to be successful and they want to achieve things. Like I think people want to be loved is their deepest desire, but on a surface level, a lot of times people want to succeed in the world. And women are being confronted with the fact that their bodies and having kids especially do make them different. And it I guess if they want to be free to achieve the same things that they see men achieving and being celebrated for, then they have to be free from anything that holds them back, which includes having kids and what their body is designed to do.
And we're still harking back to that same verbiage that causes confusion, that freedom from something versus freedom for something, right? And if the sole goal of some women is the freedom from fill in the blank so that the opportunity for success lies ahead of them, it becomes a perpetuation of turning into ourselves, right? And no society stands too long on that. Right. You see it in just a family of eight in our house. If we're under the mentality of every man for themselves in our house, it's chaos.
There's no snacks. There's no snacks.
Yeah. Dinner is fair game. There's no hot water in the shower. You know, we could go on and on. And, you know, I'm always going back to this, like this idea that if there's discord in our home, it's someone being selfish. I mean, Elizabeth, you've heard this, but it's the reality of it, right? Or the other thing too that happens in a big family is the presumption that someone else will take care of it. There's always that. And it can be from answering the door, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think another idea of what I think people have the idea of what freedom is just like doing whatever you want without consequence. Like, and then when there's a consequence, whether it be good or bad, it's kind of something that maybe takes people aback a little bit. Like, I think that people think freedom is just, you know, that's why I think in our house, that's an issue. Like, oh, I just, you know, I thought I could just eat in the family room and leave my trash everywhere and it would just be fine. Someone will take care of it. Like, there's no consequence to say, you know, no, like, right. In a way, you acted on your free will in a way that you have to, you know, clean up after yourself in a little instance as that.
Yeah, there's no recognition of, is this a good use of my freedom or a bad use of my freedom?
Right.
Yeah.
So that brings up a really good question. What becomes the measure for, is this a good use of my freedom or a good or not a good use of my freedom? You know, what starts to become that measure of saying, ooh, that wasn't a good one? Typically, it's pain, right? I mean, like, you teach a child at a young age, like, don't touch the stove, it's hot. You know, with that firm no, no, no. Some are going to get it. Some are going to hear it with words and learn. And then others are only going to learn from pain, right? You can say and you can speak. And until they literally have been burned and they have experienced pain, do they realize, gosh, that wasn't good. So there's, you know, I think it's also that ability as women that we have, and we have so much ability. The woman's heart is amazing. You know, the ability to minister, the ability to love, the ability to pick up things that men can't, literally because the ganglions in our eyes are different. Like, that's amazing. Like, if you really just molecularly, you know, broke down the differences between male and female, they're really, really amazing. And beyond, you know, XX and an XY chromosome. So there's kind of that notion that, you know, say my husband and I can be out, we can be talking to somebody and we'll leave and I'll say, wow, you could tell she was really struggling. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? And there's a part of me that's like, gosh, he's so clueless, he doesn't tune in. But literally he isn't capable of picking up certain things that I was picking up in her eyes or when her voice dropped, right? That there's that compassion that is so ingrained in us as women, which is amazing. I mean, what a gift that we have that. And it's through that compassion that I think we can live out our femininity in its fullest by hoping to set and communicate that level of that bar that we're talking about, that hopefully my friend doesn't get hurt. Hopefully my friend who's going in this direction, because I really, really love her, I can speak truth into this. In the end, that friend can decide whether or not to hear and listen. But if we really love, we move through that. So it's that freedom to, not that freedom from, right? It's such a balancing act and it's so delicate. And I think that's also why it's so prone to distortion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had discipled college girls for many years, and several of them are now married with babies, and kind of my second generation of girls are out of college and in between really finding their career and really neither of them are married or engaged. Well, one is in particular, but the two that I'm really thinking of, one met a guy and they knew that they had something special, but she had to move pretty far to be near him. And we all know to work on a relationship, it's helpful to be in the same vicinity, not states over. And we've had many talks about, which she's like, but I don't want to look like I'm chasing after this boy. I'm like, oh my word, come on. This is reality. You're letting the culture dictate to you how you should and shouldn't be. Use your logic. Use your reason. He's a farmer. He can't up and move his hundreds of acres of land to be near you. Like, we've just twisted this reality in life that I think our women are even held bondage to do what they feel like, number one, they want to do. She should feel free to move and be near this guy that she's pretty certain she's going to marry without feeling like she's going to be judged.
Yeah. Well, an ultimate freedom is not the goal. Like, if freedom becomes an idol in itself, what does that leave you with? Like, okay, we actually have free will. We are free to do whatever we want on some level, barring the laws of nature, but we can do whatever we want. And so what is directing that freedom? What are we trying to accomplish? And for Catholics, it should be our vocation. And so, you know, for somebody who is discerning that vocation to marriage and pursuing that and making choices around that, those choices are going to be limiting and in some way going to limit your freedom to do other things, the same way that a vocation to religious life or single life, any choice takes away other choices. But if that's directed towards good, then it's meaningful. And that's what life is about. Life isn't about just achieving ultimate freedom to do whatever you want by yourself. It's very isolating.
But truthfully, when you think of, if you think of freedom as a goal, then it's not true freedom. Freedom is kind of like a pathway to a tool to get to be the person that you are made to be, to reach the ultimate goal, which, that we all kind of want to achieve, which is not freedom to do whatever you want, but it's like, obviously eternal life in heaven is hopefully the goal for most people. Hopefully of faith.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Freedom to be who you're made to be.
Right.
And who you're meant to be. And go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no. And I just a thought off of that. Like, I want the freedom to be the type of woman that I want to be. And frankly, the way a lot of our society is built, I don't necessarily always feel that freedom to be the woman that I want to be, because that type of woman may be marginalized by a lot of people, which is unfortunate, because people think that, you know, the type of person that I like, idealistic person that exists right now, the woman who, you know, basically goes and does whatever she wants with her body sexually or in terms of like a career, beating men, being the top, you know, person in the company, all that in of itself is like, sometimes it feels like a burden or a restriction, like that whole idea of freedom and like what people say, that's like what a woman should be doing. Like, I don't feel freedom to be my own person, because I'll get questions like, why are you maybe stopping working to have a kid? Why do you want to stay at home? If that's something I choose to do, I would like to be able to feel free to make that choice. But unfortunately, I don't see that necessarily always happening. I mean, in the future, I don't necessarily see feeling able to do that.
Yeah, feeling that. Because I can remember a time, Elizabeth, we were out to dinner, and it could have been when you were maybe a junior or senior in high school, and or heading off to Notre Dame. Obviously, a great school. You're taking on a really difficult major. You know, you're a D1 athlete in a tremendously difficult sport. And, you know, this friend, and you know, the conversation was asking you, like, oh, well, what do you want to do? And, you know, you explained what you wanted to do. And in the same breath, you said, and, you know, if I'm blessed to have kids, I can't wait to stay home with them. And his response was like, huh? Like, he just kind of disconnected this drive and this ambition that you had to go in one direction, didn't seem compatible with this other side. And,
right.
And yeah, exactly. And that is like, it's like when people would see me at the grocery store with like 6 children under 8, and I'd get the proverbial, oh, jeez,
right.
All yours,
right.
God bless you. And I'd be like, actually, he really did, you know? And I'd say to them, you don't know what you're missing. Like the opportunity
right.
Like, to form these lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like all those things are just so personal to you. And like, I'm not going around saying, oh, like I need to feel like the world is accepting the choices I'm making. Like, absolutely not. Like, I know that's true. But when the world's promoting freedom, it's not really freedom for so many reasons. It's like a directed particular path of, quote, I guess, liberation in a sense, sexual liberation, liberation in the workplace. But it's not really freedom because it's kind of only one particular path, like a couple particular paths that are like generally for women, especially just like as a college student, just like what people see and think is the type of person that we're expected to be when we graduate. It's like, it's not really freedom. Like, freedom should be the ability to, for me to be able to, you know, be the type of person I want to be. And I know most likely with my life decisions, I'm probably going to be in a marginalized group, which is okay. Like, I'm fine with that. But it's just funny that in the irony of what freedom truly is versus just what everyone promotes it to be.
I was wondering if Samantha had felt anything. Let's flip the coin. Being a working mom, has she experienced this pressure to be somebody she doesn't feel like she's called to be in this season of life?
I think for me, I'm actually really passionate about this topic, and I think it is so personal. And that book, Interior Freedom, actually, I think has a really good and important perspective, which is that freedom, it's not just about whatever, being able to do whatever I want to do, you know, because the day that I said yes to getting married to my husband and the day that I became pregnant, like, those things place limitations on my freedom. There's things I can't go out and do now because I'm married or because I have a kid. But for me, the important part is embracing your vocation as a whole. So I feel like I am the type of person who has been able to go to work and, you know, bring the feminine genius to the workplace, as Edith Stein talks about. But also, you know, I have been called and blessed to be a mom and a wife. And it's a unique balancing act for sure. But I think for me, I feel free to respond I feel free to love, I guess. That's one of the quotes from Father Jack's book, is our lack of freedom stems from a lack of love. And I think there are moments when it's hard, and I see other people at work who have a lot less limitations on their freedom, you know, to achieve at work, and they can stay really late if they want, or they can come in really early, or they can just make different choices than I can. And in that way, yeah, I'm not free. I am not free to stay at work until midnight because I have to go home. But I'm free to respond in a way that, you know, the way that I've been called to. I'm not explaining this very well.
No, I love that. I love that. Now, when you said, I may not be free to work until midnight because I have a spouse and a son to go home to, but I am free to respond in the way that is fitting to my calling, my vocation as a wife and mother. And I love that because that, it doesn't matter if you go to work. I relate to that as a stay-at-home homeschooling mom. By golly, my kids need to be taught math. I hate teaching math. So guess what? I'm not free to sit around and watch Netflix all day because I have a responsibility to teach my children. And I have the free will to choose to either watch Netflix or teach my children. I never watch Netflix, but I mean, I do, but not typically. But I love the way you worded it. I am free to choose the right path, the path that the Lord has called me to. It's His divine will. And that is where I'm going to experience true freedom, is when I'm walking right alongside the Lord in the ways that he has called me to, and I'm continuing to die to my selfish ambition, my selfish desires. It's like Gloria says, every opportunity, all these temptations, it's either an opportunity to grow in virtue by choosing the right thing, or when we fail, to grow in humility, knowing that we need Jesus Christ, his grace, every day, every moment of the day.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we forget that our vocation is going to be the greatest source of our joy. Like my ability, yes, you know, in my selfishness, sometimes I wish I was free to work till midnight or just go out with my friends and leave the baby at home, whatever I want, you know, but that I have to believe that in the greater picture of things, this is my path to joy. And there are many times when it is. But I just think that, you know, another version of myself that would be quote unquote more free, like if I had said, you know, no, I'm not going to get married. And I'm not going to respond to this call in my life. It would have been a lot more isolating for me. And maybe I would have been more free to pursue these kind of worldly successes. But in the grand scheme of eternity, I try to remember that responding to our vocation is the most important thing, and the most free we will be is in God.
Right, right. Because our vocation is what makes us holy. And the more holy we become, the more free we become to truly live out our vocation, our lives, to love others freely and sacrificially.
Samantha, thank you so much for joining us today. You contributed so much to this conversation, and we would love to hear more from you.
Thank you. It was awesome to talk about this, and I'm looking forward to more episodes, especially the next one with Helen Alvarez.
Great. Thanks for joining us. This was such a fun episode because I got to have my daughter on the line. I mean, how fun is that? Elizabeth, you were awesome. Of course, your conversations, the conversations that Elizabeth and I can have are amazing. So thank you so much for joining us and contributing from, you know, the 20-year-old female perspective.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you, Elizabeth. I was so excited when you said yes, because it was I really wanted to hear someone chime in on this. You're really in the middle of the culture wars, I guess you could say. And
yeah.
You know, I'm just hiding in a closet in Arkansas. So I love the perspective and I appreciate it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us this week. We're so grateful for all of you joining us in the trenches. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.